well it is good to be able to be back at the house of the Lord today. Thankful for a nice little breeze that I stepped outside on the porch, talked with a few of the deacons, and nice little breeze that I kind of felt blowing. So appreciate that. And I know it's warm outside and everything, but thankful that there's a little breeze. I will say this, I mentioned that on Wednesday night, deacons and I talked a little bit after the service. I wanted to let you know that when it's hot, and on these days, it is the middle of July, and it is getting warmer. On these days, and when you're in the parking lot service out here, and it gets hot, go ahead and crank your car if you desire. It won't hurt anything. It ain't going to bother anything. I know if there's a little bit of a breeze, it's okay. That'll leave your windows down, and that is all right. But if you start getting hot, and you want to crank your car, roll your windows up, crank your car, and have your air conditioner on as you listen. It won't hurt anything. So I wanted to mention that as we begin. But I want to thank you for being a part of the service today. Appreciate the Lord allowing us to come together by way of internet, by way of the parking lot service, by all the means. Some will be listening later on the CD. Just all of these means that the Lord has given to us. Let us be a part of the service today. I have a lot of requests and a lot of things still seem like so much going on in our community, in our church family. I want to mention a few things, then we'll have prayer. We'll move on into the message the Lord's put on my heart. I do pray for the Johnny Homan family. As you all know, we've had it on our website on the prayer list. Johnny, I went home to be in the Lord on Wednesday afternoon. I fought the COVID virus for over a month and reached the point that just wasn't anything else that they could do medically. And so the Lord took him on home. So he's out of all the sickness and this whole world. And so I know there's sadness on the part of the family on saying goodbye, but I'm glad there is the peace and knowing where he's at. So pray for them. Pray for Eileen, the family. Pray for Brenda and Jane and Sandra, all the family. Chris, their family. Pray for all of them that's connected to our church family and to their family. Ask God to encourage and meet the needs of their heart. Continue to pray for Rachel. She heals from where she had the oral surgery on Monday of this past week. Talked with her about the middle of the week. She said she wasn't hurting terribly then. Swollen and bruised, but not a lot of pain. So she'll be healing. So you ask the Lord to help there. Pray for Holly. Scheduled this week to have more treatments. Ask the Lord to help her. These treatments hard on her. Always treatments are. So she only was able to have one this past week because her blood count was low. So ask the Lord to help her. Pray for Randy and the family. Then Randy's dad is to go tomorrow, get the results of his scan, see the oncologist, start his first treatment. So ask the Lord to help him. I know there's some nervousness out there. So ask the Lord just to help with all of that. Pray for Randy and volunteer. No doubt, I told Randy that one day this week, no doubt he feels pulled in two directions, with his dad and with Holly. Just pray and ask God to help there. And then Beverly, saw the doctor this week. They put an injection in her knee. She said later in the week, it seemed like it's really helped. So we're thankful for that. Keep her in your prayers. Jan saw the doctor Thursday. He's released her to come back to work this week. So we appreciate a good report there. Guy Stamey sees the doctor on Wednesday, his heart doctor, and they'll check out his heart to see if there's any damage from where he had had all these treatments. And then a week from tomorrow, the 20th, he is scheduled to have the first IV treatment for a chemotherapy treatment. He'll have one, and then he'll wait 3 weeks to another. He'll do that for four treatments, one every 3 weeks. And then if he tolerates it well, they'll put a port in, and then he'll continue to have treatments that way. Pray for him, and also continue to pray for Patty, asking the Lord to help her. And then Joyce Pritton is to have the stitches taken out of her finger this week, still having balance issues. Pray for her, asking the Lord to help her. Jim is to have his injections in his back this week, so ask the Lord to help him. And then Jake, they're getting him ready to start his therapy pretty soon. So ask God to help him. Continue to pray for Tarnell, as her foot is healing still, getting strength, and things are improving. So ask God to help her. And then to Mallory Sherrill, that we mentioned, 24-year-old battling the COVID, has greatly improved. And she is off oxygen now in speech therapy and doing well. Talking about maybe getting her moved to a closer home where she'll continue therapy. So it is just an answer to prayer of how well she's doing. And so just continue to ask the Lord to help. So there's just so many things that's happening in life. So continue to ask the Lord to watch over our church family and to help us meet our needs, touch our lives. I will also say it's on our website in the special announcements on the homepage. We talked with the deacons on Wednesday that we are going to come back inside in the church 2 weeks from today. We've kind of waited to maybe the right time. We feel like that this is the time 2 weeks from today. It'll be the last Sunday of July that we're going to come back in. Pretty much similar to what we did when we came in before. We're going to try to do it pretty much the same way. I will post the kind of the guidelines we'll use. We're going to distance. We'll have pews marked off. We're going to recommend the mask coverings. If you'll wear them, we're going to recommend them. They'll not be something that will be required, but recommended to wear. If you have some health issues or high risk, we're going to recommend you stay home. Don't be a part of the inside service. Either stay home and listen or be in the parking lot service and do that. If you're a senior citizen, talk to your family. Prayerfully decide about whether to come inside or not. And everything, that'll be your decision, your choice. So some of these things, guidelines, as before, we'll post on the website, we'll talk about. But 2 weeks from today, so keep that in mind, and we'll announce it again next Sunday. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll look into His Word for a little bit. Our Father, we thank You today for just the privilege to be in Your house. I ask for Your help, Your guidance, and Your touch on these things we do. Speak to our hearts, work in our lives as You alone can. Somehow, Lord, help these many requests. Father, You know the needs of every home, every family. Touch, oh God, these that are sick. I thank You for good reports. I thank you for answered prayers, oh Father, but I pray for those still hurting, still needing your touch, still needing strength. Speak, Father, to you as a need of each one. Father, I pray that you would keep us safe in your care, guide us in your will. Somehow, Lord God, now as we open your word, touch my voice, touch my body, help us that we might honor you in what we say and do. Christ's name we humbly pray, and amen. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Daniel, the second chapter. The second chapter of the book of Daniel. And while you're finding your places, I want to say, if you haven't listened to the Sunday school lessons on the website, please, after a while, listen to them. Adam did a fantastic job on the adult lesson. I heard it before we came today, and bless my heart, he just about preached teaching that lesson and fed my soul, and I appreciate that. And then I listened to Shana teaching the lesson for the kids class, and oh, what a blessing she did teaching that for the little ones. And I know the little ones will get a lot out of that lesson. Touched my heart there as well. So if you haven't, let your kids hear that one, please. Let them sit down and see that one. And the adults, you sit down and listen to Adam teaching that lesson after a while if you haven't. In Daniel chapter number 2, verse 14 is where I'm going to pick up in the story. It says that then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast known and made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. That is verse 14 down through verse 23. And I'll reference some other verses in the chapter to help us make an understanding of what is all happening in the story in the second chapter here in the book of Daniel. The stories of Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, or as they are better known, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're not long stories found in the scriptures, but they're filled with encouragement and instruction for our lives. These young men were deported from their homeland of Judah by King Nebuchadnezzar at the young age of probably around 14 to 17 years old. The courage and commitment of these young Hebrews have been a testimony through the ages to all of us as we read the Word of the Lord. Now, we're familiar with the story found in chapter 1 concerning the food and the pressure on them to eat the king's food and to drink the king's wine. And we're also pretty familiar with the fiery furnace in chapter number 3. And we are familiar with the writing of the wall in chapter 5 in the Ten of Lions in chapter number 6. But I'm interested today in a part of the story that is found here in the second chapter dealing with the king's dream and the interpretation of that dream. Now, to remind us for just a moment that things are different for these young Hebrews in their lives. They are living now in a foreign land, and things are so different. They're having to learn a whole new system of life, and a whole new normal is taking place for them. Things are not like they were just a matter of months and a few years before for them back at home. Everything for them is changed and is changing for them. Let me say this now. We're not being transported today to some foreign land, but in a profound way today. For a time now, things have been changing and are changed for us in so many ways. We're having to do so many things differently in our lives, and things are not normal for us on a day-to-day basis, and we're learning things differently from what we used to do, and we're longing for a sense of a new normal or a normal of how things used to be. But the thing that stands out to me as I look at these stories, and this one in particular today, is the fact that no matter what changed and how life's twists and turns came in their life and in their way, that they remained faithful to the Lord. Their trust in God stayed the same in a changing world. So that's what I have in my heart today that I really want to think about and look at in this text in dealing with the king's dream. I'd like to preach on this thought of trusting God in a changing world. Trusting God in a changing world. So let's look at the verses today. And like I said, I'll go back and I'll pick up some things that bring us to the point of the text, and we'll look at some things today. First of all, I want us to notice the problem. The problem. Now, that'll take us back in the first 16 verses of the chapter. And I'm not going to read them all or anything, but I'm going to kind of paraphrase them and give us an understanding of what's going on. The king Nebuchadnezzar has had dreams. And they, as he woke up, they troubled him. And the fact of it is that he wanted to know what the dreams meant. And they were so troubling at what he had seen and what he thought about. And there is some question about him of whether he even could remember what he saw in the dreams. Some have said that by what he is asking the magicians wise men of his day, that he don't remember the dreams, and so he is asking them to tell him what they were and the interpretation. And some have said that he is wanting to challenge them in such a way to find out if they're really telling him the truth, that he is telling them, I want you to tell me what the dreams are, because he remembers them, and he wants them to tell him what the dreams are, and then the interpretation to see if they're really being honest. I think that's what it is. I think that's the focus of it, and we'll get into all of that in a bit. But I want to pause to say this for just a moment. I want to chase a little rabbit here for a moment. And I'm not much of one to chase a lot of rabbits. But dreams are such a controversial thing, even in our day. Now, throughout the Old Testament, God at times would use dreams convey important messages to people. At times, he would give dreams. He did to Jacob. He let him dreams about how he was going to bless him and things he was going to do in his life. Joseph dreamed dreams about the future events in his life. But God even at times would allow pagans to dream dreams. He let Pharaoh dream dreams, and Joseph interpreted those dreams for him. And now Nebuchadnezzar has dreamed a dream. So there are times that God has used dreams in the Old Testament, and he has here. But let me say this. God, there are those that put even stock in dreams today. And they have the idea of thinking that God still gives people visions and dreams in our day. But can I say God has no reason to allow people to have visions and dreams in our day? Because we have the final authority. We have the Word of God. Listen to what God says in Hebrews chapter 1 in verse 1 and 2. He says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. God doesn't need to speak with dreams and visions today, because that now he speaks to us by his Son. We have the final revelation of God. We have his Word. So we don't need dreams and visions in our day. God has given us the Word. He's given us the Holy Spirit to give us an understanding of the Word of God. So he doesn't speak with dreams and visions. Somebody comes along, says, I've got a new word from God. I've had a vision from heaven. I say that, hey, they may just need an antacid. Or they may need to pay a visit to a psychoanalyst and have a case study. I'm just saying, we've got the Word of God, and we've got the Holy Spirit, and God has spoken to us in his final authority, the Word of God. So enough of that. I've chased my rabbit for today. I'm done with that. I'm back to the Word of God and the book of Daniel. So back to the story. So the problem was, the king's had a dream, and so he don't know what it's all about. So he calls all the magicians, he calls his sorcerers, he calls the wise men of Babylon, and he says to them, I've had a dream, and I want to know what it means. So the wise men come to the king, and they say, in verse 4, they say, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we'll show thee the interpretation. We'll tell you what it's all about. So the king says, the thing's gone from me. He says, if you'll not make known to me the dream for the interpretation, I'm going to cut you in pieces and your house be made a dung heap. In verse 6, he said, but if you'll show the dream, the interpretation thereof, then I'll give you gifts. I'll give you rewards and great honor. So the king says, hey, if you'll show me the dream, I'll give you gifts and rewards. If not, you're all going to die. So they say again to the king, king, this is an unusual thing. Tell us the dream, and we'll tell you the interpretation. Why, they can tell him anything. They can say whatever. But the king wants to know the right thing. So he says, okay, here's the deal. You tell me what I dreamed, and then you tell me the interpretation, and I'll know you're telling me what's right. And then I'll reward you. They go on down in these verses, in verse 10, they say there's nobody that can, in all the land, that can give the king what he's asking for. There's nobody that can do this. So if you follow the verses on down, the king sends out the decree to kill all the wise men in the land of Babylon. The decree goes out. So you may ask the question, what's that got to do with Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? Well, notice verse number 13. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. There's the problem. There's the problem. So Daniel and Ananias, Mishael, Azariah, they're part of the edict. They're going to be killed by the king. So then Daniel, when he hears it, he says in verse 14, with counsel and wisdom, to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was come forth to slay the wise men of Babylon, he answered, said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. So Daniel goes in, says to the king, king, give me time, and I will show thee the interpretation. Let me pause and say this, long enough to say this, that God's people are often put in a place to suffer with others in the land. Abraham suffered along with everybody else the famine in the land of Canaan. You'll find that Joseph faced the famine in Egypt along with everybody else. Elijah faced the dry land and the famine of 3.5 years, just like everybody else, because of the sin of King Ahab. You'll find today that we're dealing, God's people are dealing with the COVID, just like everybody else in the world. So don't think it's strange that Christians are suffering and hurting and dying because of all of this. God has always, always at times allowed his children to deal with things just like everybody else. So we're dealing with it just like others in the world today. So we've seen the problem. But then notice the prayer in verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God, of the God of heaven, concerning this secret. So Daniel goes back to find Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And what he says is this, fellas, we need to pray. We need to pray. Now, I say to you today, we have two options. When some crisis comes in our lives, something happens to us, we've got two options. I want to tell you, things can happen suddenly. to our lives and to our hearts, things which are out of our control. Things can happen quickly. You know, as well as I know, things can happen suddenly in our lives and in our hearts. And not that you've never felt before can suddenly pop up somewhere on your skin. A pain that you're suddenly having that you never had before. All of a sudden you feel a pressure in your chest that you've never had. You can stumble quickly, slip and fall, and everything changes. If you don't believe me, ask Darnell. If I'm not mistaken, I saw her sitting out there in the car at it. Hey, suddenly you're driving down the road. Suddenly somebody runs a stoplight or a stop sign and T-pones your car, and everything changes. A routine examination at the doctor's office, and they call you and say, we need you to come back in. Something showed up in your blood work. And the list goes on and on and on. How suddenly things can change in our lives and in our hearts. Daniel and his friends had seemingly gotten out of one situation dealing with king's meat and the king's drink. And then all of a sudden, boom, they're in another situation, slammed by something that all of a sudden they're facing death in the face. I want to tell you, that's how it can happen to every one of us. I mean, all of a sudden you're facing the cancer situation in your life. All of a sudden you're facing heart attack situation in your life. All of a sudden you're facing something that's life and death in your life. It can happen. And I said a while ago that you and I have two options that we can do. You say, what are they? You can panic or you can pray. And Daniel could have panicked. Daniel could have he could have failed pieces. He could have went all out. He could have ran to Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, said, fellas, we've had it. Man, we might as well find a hole somewhere and crawl in. But he went and said, fellas, we need to pray. We need to pray. So he went and he found them. He cried out for the mercies of the God of heaven. I see two things in their prayers that I want you to notice. First of all, I see the urgency. I see the urgency. For them, it wasn't some little bedtime prayer. I see for them that it wasn't a little 5-second prayer over a meal. But I see for them that they got down to business and got serious with God. I liken it to the kind of prayer that Isaiah prayed in Isaiah 64 in verse 1. When Isaiah prayed and said, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. That was the idea of Isaiah, God, that you might come down at once, that you might rend the heavens, that you might tear apart the heavens and come down, remove the heavens. God, right now, come down now in this situation and in our presence. I'm saying that, hey, do you sense Isaiah's desperation? I sense that kind of desperation in Daniel and Ananiah, Azariah, and I start to say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I'll probably go back and forth. But I sense that urgency, that desperation in their prayer. It's kind of like the nobleman that came to Jesus and cried for his healing of his son. And he finally said to Jesus, come down, ere my child die. Sometimes we just need that kind of desperation when we cry out to God. That sense of urgency. I ask you, do we have that kind of urgency about the needs of our life? Is there something going on in your life right now that you have that kind of urgency? It may be a child that's lost that needs salvation. It may be a sickness that's going on in your life or in your family. It may be a child that's away from God, that's drifted out in the world. Do we have that kind of urgency? It may be something else that's happening that you've never told anybody about. But do you have that kind of urgency that you're saying, God, we need you? Is there that kind of urgency in your family? Is that kind of urgency in your life right now that you're saying, like Daniel? I want to tell you, Daniel, Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah, they were facing death. They were staring death in the face, and they were saying, God, we need your help. We need help. Open our understanding that we may see. They were praying. I sense here the urgency, but I sense the helplessness. Verse 18 says it. They would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. They were saying, this thing's beyond us. And God, without your help, without your intervention, without you showing us, there's going to be no help. They were crying for mercy. They were saying, God, we need your compassion on us concerning this matter. We're not big enough. We're not strong enough. We're not able enough to handle this that's going on today. Do you feel that helplessness in something in your life? That's the way they were crying out to God. That's the way they were seeking the help of God. But then notice verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. God heard and answered their prayer. You know what I believe? The Bible teaches that God has a respect for a broken and contrite heart. I believe when we cry out to Him with this kind of an urgency and a helplessness and a brokenness, I believe God hears. Psalm 34 and 4 says, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. That same Psalm, verse 15, says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open under their cry. Maybe with what you're dealing with today, you feel that sense of urgency and helplessness in your life. Tell it to Jesus. Pour your heart out to Him and let Him know all about it, realizing that He hears and that He'll answer prayer. So I see the problem and I see the prayer, but lastly, I want you to see the praise. I want you to see the praise. When the answer came, Daniel breaks out into praise. Before he ever talks to the king, he starts praising God. Notice verse 19, the last part. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He says in verse 20, Daniel answered and said, and I'm going to get a drink of water. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are His. I want to stop. I want to look at these verses just a moment. Daniel began to magnify the greatness of God. First of all, Daniel realizes and recognizes just how great that his God is. And he magnifies Him for His wisdom and His might. And notice how He does it. First of all, He recognizes that He is sovereign over all the world. Notice verse 21. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. Daniel says that he changeth times and seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. Now we'll understand that a little more, or you will, when he interprets the dream. I'm not going to be able to get on into that, but when he interprets the king's dream, he tells him about a colossal figure that he sees, and the head was of gold, and he talks about the chest and the arms of brass, and the belly and the thighs, or the chest of silver, arms of silver, the belly and the thighs of brass, the legs, I believe, of iron, and the feet and the toes are mixed with iron and clay. And he begins to talk about how that the Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom was the gold, and after him another kingdom, and another kingdom, and he went on down. He talks about a stone hewed out of the mountain that was going to come, destroy it all, and be established over all the earth. He is talking about kingdoms yet to come, and about that last stone represents the kingdom of Christ. He was telling him about how God was in charge of all the kingdoms of the earth. He is talking about Christ, or talking about God and Christ's kingdom. He is talking about how God was in charge, how that God changes the times and the seasons. He is talking about how God puts a king on the throne and God takes him down. God sets one up. God removes him. He's sovereign over all this world. We look at our world situation today, and we get frustrated at it all. But I want you to know this, that there's a God in heaven that is in charge of all things. And Daniel recognized that even back then. And that's what he was going to tell Nebuchadnezzar, that there's a God in heaven who is sovereign over all the earth. He's in control of all the world. Those magicians and sorcerers and wise men of Babylon, they were all fakes. And Daniel was going to say, there's only one true God, and he's in control. He's the sovereign over all the earth. Can I say that there's only one God in heaven? There's only one God, and he's the one that controls all things today. Donald Trump may think he's in charge, but in reality, he's not. Putin may think that he's the top dog, but he's not. Xi over in China may think he's the top man in the world, but in reality, he's not. Daniel said it down in first number, I believe it was 28. There is a God in heaven. I want to tell you, there is a God in heaven who is sovereign over all the world, and he's still God today. I want to tell you, that comforts my heart. That gives me encouragement to realize that God is sovereign over all the world. Over all the world. But Daniel not only said that God was the sovereign of the world, but Daniel said that he is supreme in his wisdom. Look at the last part of verse 21. He said, he giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Daniel says this. Daniel says he is the one that really knows everything. Notice that last praise. I'm going to just focus on it. Daniel says he knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Daniel says there's no neither darkness or shadow with him. There are no mysteries. There are no hidden things. But all things are light to God. Daniel was saying that God sees and knows everything. I want to say this. I believe that. I believe that God's sovereign over everything in this world. I believe that God knows all that there is to know. He knows the beginning to the end. He knows everything. He knows everything. And if I believe that, and I do, then that gives me the foundation of faith and trust in a world that doesn't make any sense at all. It gives me encouragement to live my life every day knowing that even though we live in a messed up world right now, that God is in complete control. But I'll bring that down even personally. I believe that He's sovereign over everything in my life. That I can trust Him, that even though I don't understand all that's going on in my life right now, I believe that He's sovereignly in control of everything in my life. Jerry Bridges, a great Christian author, put it like this. If there is a single event in all of the universe that can occur outside of God's sovereign control, then we cannot trust Him at all. And I believe it. But nothing ever occurs outside of His control. He controls everything. Nothing ever happens that God says, I didn't see that coming. Nothing ever happens and God says, oops, I didn't know that was going to happen. But God is in control over everything. He sees the sparrow that falls. He sees everything. He knows all there is to know. I want to tell you, He knows every hair that's on our heads. He knows all that's happening in our life. And if God sees and controls everything in this world, then I can trust Him. I can have faith in Him in a world that seems so messed up. No detail in my life is so insignificant, so minute, that He doesn't care about. He cares about everything that touches my life. He cares about every hurt. He cares about every need. He cares about everything that I face. He cares about every burden that I carry. He cares about every sickness. He cares about every trial. He cares about every trouble. You say, preacher, so what does that mean? That I can carry everything to God in prayer. So I say to you today that whatever is changing in your life, that whatever's going on in your life right now, put your trust in Him. Put your trust in the One who's unchanging and the One who's in control of all things. I don't know what you may be facing right now, but don't panic. Instead of panicking, pray. Put it all in His hands. Trust the One who hears and answers prayer. And He will hear. He will listen. And in His time, He will work His work for your good and for His glory. There may be somebody listening today that you may be on the verge of panic, that you may be on the verge of saying, I don't know what else to do. Why not give it to Jesus? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He's the one who cares. He's the one who understands, and he's the one that can help you right now. I'm going to close in prayer. So whatever it is, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're facing, how we pray, put it in his hands and let him help you. Father, somebody's listening to me today. Somebody's hurting today. Somebody's struggling today. Father, would you hear them and would you help them, touch them, that they might put in your hands that burden. They might put in your hands that they're struggling with, that fear, that worry. Give them your encouragement. Give them your strength. Help them as only you can to trust you. And we'll give you the glory for it all. In thy name we ask and pray. Amen. I ask you to be safe going home. Keep in mind our service on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And we'll see you then. Your Liberty Hope.